One, it was cool to see because you never really see NBA players look that good in the video game. Mm-hmm. And two, the game had so many secret players. Like you could play as Bill Clinton. You could play as George Clinton.
Bo Jackson was so good. Even if you called the Bo play, you could still get a couple of yards.
Yes.
But if you didn't call the Bo play, it was a touchdown every time.
Exactly.
We have Delvin Cox from the Delvin Cox Experience. Welcome back to the show, Delvin.
Hey, how you doing, brother? Everything's good. Happy to be back, by the way.
Happy to have you back. We usually get together on Super Bowl and talk about Super Bowl Sunday, but we had a conflict on our end on our schedule, so we wanted to do it this week. Unfortunately, Big Ben's on vacation. He's out, so I'll be holding it down with Delvin, and we're going to talk about gaming. Esports. What do you think about that?
This is the perfect topic to have me on because I'm a lifelong gamer. And video games and sports kind of go hand in hand in terms of sports have been in video games since the beginning of time. Like Atari has sports games. You go from the Atari 2600 sports game, like the game just called Golf, to Double Dribble on the NES and NBA Jam. It's been so many great sports games. So this is the perfect topic to be on.
You mentioned two games, so let's start with basketball. Let's talk NBA Jam. And well, I always say NBA Jams, like plural, and Big Ben. That was my game. What did you like about that game?
But before we get to NBA Jam, I wanted to bring up something that's, I don't know if you play this or not, but the godfather of basketball games in this time. You ever played Jordan versus Bird?
I want to say I probably did. Remind me of it.
Okay. This was an NES game.
Okay.
And it literally was Michael Jordan versus Larry Bird. And you can only play as two characters. Jordan was the one who could dunk. He could do all kind of dunks. And Larry Bird was the one who could just sit behind the line and hit all kind of crazy threes. Like, he almost didn't miss.
So are we talking like late 80s when this is Jordan's rookie year and he's not fully evolved as a player?
No, this is this game came out in the 90s, I want to say, like 92, 90, around the NES era. But it was, this is like, I want to say this was around the time almost at peak Jordan popularity.
Okay.
It had to be like 92 because it was around the time of the Dream Team and Larry Bird and Jordan were still popular at that time. And it was a cool game because it was like one of the first real sports video games they were that specifically focused on two players.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous because, like I said, if you played as Bird, it was really easy to win because Bird didn't miss threes.
Yeah.
So the whole way to play was kind of like just sit back in the key and shoot three for Bird. You'd always win because you're playing the 21. Bird couldn't dunk. Bird couldn't lay up. All Bird could do was shoot jumpers. And so Jordan could dunk.
Now, did one player have to be Bird and the other one had to be Jordan, or could two people be Bird versus Bird?
You are correct the first time. One person had to be Jordan and one had to be Bird. And as you know, nobody wanted to play as Larry Bird at that time because this was Jordan like in his prime almost. And because of that game, you could not really license Jordan in video games, going back to the NBA Jam topic,
That's
why Jordan was not in NBA Jam, because he was licensed to be in his game, and then he had another game that came out on Super Nintendo called Chaos in the Windy City, where you're playing as Michael Jordan, a side-scrolling game, where you're playing as Michael Jordan, and you're throwing basketballs to people and fighting in this like in Chicago that's been taken over by monsters.
Wow.
This was actually a real game, yes.
I don't remember that at all. You're dropping knowledge here today.
Because of those two games specifically, you could not put Michael Jordan in a game, and that's why he was not in NBA Jam.
NBA Jam came out, I think, in 94. It was midway.
Yes.
I think it was the highest grossing game that year. We're talking about 2-on-2, where the guy who hits a three or hits another shot, he's heating up. he's heating up. He's on fire. And then you got to do whatever you have to do to get that guy the ball because he can't miss until, I guess, the other team scores, right?
Yes. It's NBA Jam was so unique in terms of how it kind of, one, it looked great for its time. The players looked like the actual players. They kind of used these graphics where the player's face was computerized into the game, so they looked like the player, like Larry Bird looked like Larry Bird. Scottie Pippen looked like Scottie Pippen. And you had these two-on-two basketball on a full-court NBA court, but kind of no rules.
Yeah.
So you could push the player and take the ball and shoot. And the whole object of the game was like, you know, win the three quarters and stuff like that, the four quarters. And the cool thing about it is that if you hit a certain, I want to say it was three shots in a row, whether it was between via dunks, three-pointers, or anything else, jumpers, you get on fire. And when you get on fire, you essentially don't miss.
No.
It was just such a cool game for that time because they had so many. One, it was cool to see NBA because you never really see NBA players look that good in a video game. Mm-hmm. And two, the game had so many secret players. Like you could play as Bill Clinton. You could play as George Clinton. You could play as the creators of the game. You put in the codes in arcade to play as these different players. You could play as the Chicago Bulls mascot. And it was so unique for its time. It was such a fun game.
Such a fun game. So Midway created it. They also created Mortal Kombat. So it was almost like Mortal Kombat basketball because defense, you were pushing the guy and getting rid of the ball, holding on to the turbo button. So I used to play with my brother, and as soon as they would throw in the ball, we would just push and push and try to steal the ball and then kick it out and get someone hot. And if you had computer assistance on, it was hard to beat a team.
Yes,
like you would go all the way up, but then they would come all the way back. And depending on who the team was, if it was Utah, they would always come back and win. Me and my brother hated Stockton and Malone. But some of the other teams, they would come back, but you could still win.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things about this game was because there were certain players that could not be in the game. Like Jordan was one, for example. Barkley wasn't it. He was in the game.
Yeah, but there were certain players. Dan Majerle.
Yes,
with the Suns. That was when it
yes.
was.
There were certain players that couldn't be in the game, so the game had balancing issues. Like, there were certain teams that had scrubs on their team because this wasn't today's NBA where every team has, like, a star player.
Yeah.
So certain teams, you're like, I think the Bucks had Vin Baker and somebody else. So it was kind of like, it was super fun, but they were teams that clearly had the advantage when you played as these certain teams. Like, Utah is one of them because you're playing literally as two all-stars. Phoenix was one.
Yeah.
I want to say Charlotte was another one because you're playing Larry Johnson.
And Alonzo Mourning.
Yes. And it was such a fun game in that aspect because it's just so much energy into it. Going back to what you were saying, Midway made Mortal Kombat. They made this game. And they also made NFL Blitz. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Blitz?
I do.
Blitz was an offshoot of NBA Jam, but football. And it allowed for these vicious, crazy hits. Very fun. I think it was 5-on-5. Same type of field as NBA Jam. Boom basket plays. It was just this time in gaming in terms of sports was one of the funnest times.
Yeah.
You could possibly play sports video games.
Before we get into Blitz and football, I want to go back to what you said earlier. Double Dribble. I love that game with the stick figures. And there was a sweet spot on the top of the screen, like at the arc, where if you were the Celtics, it was like you could not miss. And then when you would drive, it would change. The graphic would change to this player doing this dunk. So you had this stick figure, and then you'd go to jump. And then it would like transition to this graphic of someone doing a tomahawk dunk or a two-handed dunk, and then it would come back. I love Double Dribble. It was Boston, LA, and I think there was just a couple other teams, right? Chicago. Yeah,
it was like 8 or 9 teams or something like that. Because I don't think the game had the licenses for the teams, so they just called the teams by their cities.
Yeah.
And it was such a fun game. Like you said, it was one of those games that while it wasn't for that time, that was revolutionary. Like, hey, you're playing as an 8-bit basketball player, and then when you get to the hoop, it shows an animation for you dunking that looks pretty cool. Like, you're doing a tomahawk jam or you're doing a two-hand dunk or something like that. It was such a fun game for his time on the NES, and I have fond memories of Double Dribble.
Oh, it was so good. Now we switch back to football. I played Blitz a little bit, but Tecmo Bowl, that was my game. I love Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl was fantastic, and I remember how fun it was to just sit there on Saturday mornings or weekends and have your cousins or your family members come over and just play all, and you play that all day. Bo Jackson could not be stopped running the ball. So that it was just such a good, fun game. I think that's one of the things that's kind of missing from sports video games today, because they look fantastic. They look realistic. They look amazing, and they play good. They play really good. The problem with sports video games today are they are too much like the actual sport. It's like you're playing a simulation of basketball. And while it's fun, you still don't get that same fun feel that you had when you played like an NBA Jam or Blitz or even this game, like Tecmo Bowl. It's different.
Yeah,
I think the simplicity of Tecmo Bowl, where you could just pick up and anybody can essentially play it. You didn't necessarily have to know how to do the plays and things like that. It's either run play or pass play. That's kind of what you got. You just did it, and you kept running with it. And that's what made it so fun. The simplicity of that made these games great.
Tecmo Bowl, if you remember, there was only 4 plays.
Yes.
And it was the Los Angeles Raiders at the time, and they had 1 run play for Bo, and they had another play for Marcus and 2 pass plays. And so if the defense called the play that the offense called, it was a stop. Like, you could not stop it. However, Bo Jackson was so good, even if you called the Bo play, you could still get a couple of yards.
Yes.
But if you didn't call the Bo play, it was a touchdown every time.
Exactly.
And so these games were so intense that you would have to argue on who was the Raiders. And if I was the defense, I'm calling Bo every time, every time, every time. And then sometimes I would try to be sneaky and call something else. But if he called Bo, it was game over. It was a touchdown.
Yeah. There were only 2 players in that game like that. It was Bo Jackson because of his speed and stuff and him to be able to break tackles, and Christian Okoye.
Yeah.
Because of his size. So you can play at the Raiders or the Chiefs. I remember this specifically because I used to love – I was a big L.A. Raiders fan as a kid because I loved pro – you remember the cartoon show Pro Stars?
Yeah.
It had – Bo Jackson was one of the main characters in it. I used to love watching Pro Stars, so I became an L.A. Raiders fan because of that show. So when Tecmo Bowl came out, I would only want to play as the Raiders, and I would cream people because most people down here – are Dolphins fans, so they pick the Dolphins, and yeah, Marino's great, and he's an amazing player, but it's kind of hard to beat Bo Jackson when he could just run and score a touchdown every time.
Yeah, and if you played with anyone else, that was the first game that I remember where you could break tackles.
Yes.
But the defense was always faster than the offense, so you had to run at a diagonal up and a diagonal down as these people would be jumping for your feet and missing. Because the defense was always faster. And there's another player, Lawrence Taylor, was unstoppable on defense.
Yes.
So if you weren't the Raiders or you weren't the Chiefs, you had to go against them with LT to even have somewhat of a chance.
Yes. That game was kind of broken in that aspect, where there were certain teams you had to play because if you weren't those teams, you're going to get creamed. Like I said, playing as the Dolphins was cool, but it was almost hard to play as them because – the other team picks the Raiders, or they pick LT, Marino's going to get sacked every time.
Every time. Oh, that the good old days of video gaming.
Let me ask you this. There was a NFL game. What is one of the NFL likes? It was called Super High Impact Football. Have you ever played that?
No. I was Madden, and then I was college. Because I'd like to create myself at like Nebraska or Florida State as a wide receiver. So those are the main 2 football games that I played outside of Tecmo Bowl.
You have to look this game up.
Okay.
Because it was amazing. I think it was for Super Nintendo or NES. But it was amazing. I think it had to be Super Nintendo. It was amazing because It was not a license. It was not licensed by the NFL.
All right.
So, and the view of it was like side view, kind of like Tecmo Bowl. But the thing about it was, when you tackle players, you can break their legs. You can knock off the. You can knock off their helmets, and they get injured, and they get carried off the field. And if you do a dirty play, there's a chance it can cause a fight in the game.
Oh,
so
really?
All the teams will start fighting, and you have to press the buttons to win the fight.
I got to look this game up.
It was so cool and fun at that time because, like I said, it wasn't licensed. It wasn't an NFL-licensed game, so they took more liberties. Like, the players would talk. They would actually talk in the game and stuff like that, and they would curse each other.
Like talk trash?
Yeah. They would talk trash, and you could hear them talking trash and stuff, and you could knock helmets off, and you could break legs, and it was such a brutal, fun NFL game.
Wow. I must have missed that one. I don't know how.
Yeah, like I said, you have to – you could see the – look this up on YouTube. It was a really good game.
All right. What was it called again?
Super High Impact Football. It was a Super Nintendo game. And it came out around the time where Madden was killing things, and either people were playing at that time Madden, if you had Super Nintendo, or they were playing Joe Montana football.
I remember Joe Montana football. I grew up in the Bay Area. I love Joe Montana football.
Yeah, that was also another great one where Joe Montana would talk through the plays and stuff like that. It was so cool and so revolutionary for his time. I used to love Joe Montana football.
Now, did you play any of the baseball games?
Yeah, I played. I got heavy into when I was young on NES. It was a game called Baseball All-Stars.
Are we talking about where that had the ghastly monsters and the lovely ladies?
I think so. I think that is correct.
Yeah, I like that game too. Play against the lovely, and that's where if you win money, you can use that money to create your players or make your players better. So
yes.
Me and a friend, we would just keep playing the lovely ladies. We would create ourselves, and then we'd make enough money to pretty much make ourselves the best player in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't a licensed MLB game because they didn't really have that many MLB games back then. They had a few, but they weren't as fluent as this type, the baseball all-stars and things like that, where you can kind of just play to your heart's content and build up your roster to be this powerful team. And it was super cool, super funny. It was arcadey. I remember that one, playing that one a lot, and I remember playing later Ken Griffey baseball.
Ken Griffey, yeah. There was also RBI baseball with those short, stocky people.
Yes.
And they had the different cities, and they had the players with their stats, but the stats were fixed. What I liked about Baseball Stars is you could create yourself, and they were cumulative, right? So you could see that Kyle Wynn was hitting .666. Dalvin Cox is leading the league with home runs with 10. It was like we were in the game and we were producing, and you could see the stats and how we were faring against the other people in the game.
Yeah, that was super cool. It was simulation baseball. But it was the way it played was very arcadey, which made it a lot of fun. And I think, like I said earlier, that's what's missing from baseball games and sports games in general today. They are too simulated, so it's kind of difficult to play them.
Yeah.
Like if I were to tell you right now, hey, go try to play Madden, you would not know what to do because there are different plays, there are different aspects, there's different ways you can throw the ball, different ways you can defend against the throw. It's almost like you're actually in the NFL now. So,
yeah. Well, back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, I'm talking simple joystick, right? Just A, B, up, down. That's all you had if you're playing on Nintendo.
Yeah, and we've advanced a lot from that. In some ways, good. In some ways, bad. Because like I said, as time has went on, video games, especially sports video games, have gotten a lot more complicated. And time-consuming, so back in the day, like Madden and stuff like that, you could play five-minute games and you could still feel like you had a full experience.
Yeah.
Now it feels like you have to play the full 12 minutes, and that's a whole 12 minutes each quarter.
It's a commitment.
That's a commitment. Then you try to do the franchise season. Then you can do like 20 franchise seasons at a time, so that's like a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I was saying, you know, with COVID and the world we live in now, the introverts and the gamers are loving it, right? Because it's yeah. like more time to play games and hang out. And if you're working from home, you can take a quick lunch break and get on and play some games. So introverts and gamers are loving COVID, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've had on my podcast, I had a writer. And he writes, like, he wrote for, like, Marvel's The Runaway TV series. He's writing right now, this is pertaining to you. I want to say he's writing a Tiger Woods TV series for HBO.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything he hasn't said already. But he said that because of COVID, which he admits that's kind of weird that this happened this way, he has gotten more writing done than he's ever had because he had so much time at home to just sit there and be forced to write. And I think that's fascinating how that works out in terms of if you are a gamer or a writer, you're kind of in your element almost because you can sit there and play games and relax all day until you have to work and you're working from home, get your time to play. Or if you're a writer, you can just sit back, write your stuff and send it out and wait for the bucks to roll in.
Yeah. With COVID, there's a lot less distractions and things you can do, right? And the people that can tap into their creative juices, they don't have distractions, right? Or they can avoid those distractions and just focus on their creative outlet.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that somebody's getting something out of this yeah. whole mess of these last, I guess, 2 years now, 2020 and 2021 so far. Yeah, it's kind of cool that you have people who can find some enjoyment, whether it's in video gaming or writing. So that's one positive.
Definitely. So I want to wrap up here on this game, in my favorite game. I had to save it to the end. Punch-Out.
Oh, yes. In my
now,
opinion,
was it Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or was it Punch-Out? Because I always called it Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I'm glad you asked that because I can explain this.
Okay.
There are two versions of the game. They're both the same game. Only difference is one has Mike Tyson's name on it. And one, they changed Mike Tyson's name and face because of the rape allegations.
Oh, yeah.
So right. they have Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, which is the one that most people know. And then when the rape allegations came out, they changed it to Punch-Out with Mr. Dream.
Okay.
It's still the same, plays the same way, same characters, except when you get to the end, instead of it being Mike Tyson, it's Mr. Dream, who looks like a white Mike Tyson, if I remember correctly.
That game, so Little Mac is the guy who you can only see his back because he's throwing those dogs, and he trains, and there's the three circuits, I think. I think it's like minor, major, and world circuit.
Yes.
He's got Piston Honda, Soda Pop Enske, Glass Joe. But you could later on enter a cheat code to get right to Mike Tyson. So my question to you, Delvin, did you earn your way to Mike Tyson or did you use the cheat code to get to Mike Tyson?
I earned my way to Mike Tyson, never beat him.
I am so glad you said that because first of all, I cheated my way to Mike Tyson, but I felt bad. I felt like the Houston Astros or some people who are doing steroids. It wasn't authentic. It wasn't real. So then I stopped doing the cheat code and I earned my way to Mike Tyson, but I could only get to the second round.
Yeah, because it's a certain way you have to, I didn't find this out until I got older, but it's a certain way you have to play that game to beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And you have to essentially tire him out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get midway through the second round, and then he'll stop throwing those crazy one-hit punches.
Remember, it was one uppercut and you were knocked out. All the other people, they had to hit you a couple times. But I remember my first time fighting him, and I moved out of the way, but then the second punch, I was knocked out, got up. It was like the real thing where he would knock you out in the first round. That's why the game was awesome.
I love that game so much because they need to remake that the same way because it's so good. It's so entertaining that you have to kind of fight your way to the top when you start off fighting Glass Joe, then King Hippo and Piston Honda. and then you work your way up and to Mike, and you can, they have like little training montages in between. You see him running past the Statue of Liberty, like right Rocky almost.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to finally work your way up to Mike Tyson just to lose in 30 seconds.
But that's how it was in those pay-per-view fights. I remember I was a little younger, but like my parents or like older friends would get the fights. They would be so upset because you would pay all this money for the fight and you would cook and barbecue and then it would just be over.
I loved it. When I was a kid, I was probably, I guess like 10, 11, probably around that age. I was young when these types of fights were going on. But I specifically remember my dad getting these fights and people coming to hang out to watch these fights. And you watch this whole card of all these fighters and stuff like that. And the fights sometimes usually be good on the undercard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't care. Nobody cared. We wanted to see Tyson fight. So you sit there from, I want to say, 8 o'clock to like almost midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for Tyson. And then when Tyson comes in, you may get, you paid $60 to see 60 seconds of a fight.
Yeah. I remember we would all just be doing stuff. Like I didn't care about the undercard, but everyone was in that main room when Tyson was fighting. And it was, it was a pleasure.
Magical. Yeah.
Fun.
And I remember when he lost to Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
How shocking that was and how the room was just in complete shock and awe what just happened.
Deflating, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, it's certain moments in life that, especially with sports, that you will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that I would never forget, like, growing up, just watching everybody in the room watch this fight and watch how somebody who was almost at that point looked invincible.
Yeah.
Just get the crap beat out of it, lose.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
I remember, I'm like, this couldn't happen. Like, if you looked at Buster Douglas, it looked like he was, I mean, obviously he was training and he trained, but like his physique wasn't really there. And I was just blown away. I'm like, is this a bad dream? There's no way Tyson lost, but he didn't lose to Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
Sure enough, he did.
Yeah. It was crazy to watch that happen. And even, it kind of feels like we've, which is weird to say, we've gotten that in our generation today in terms of we have these fighters like Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, that people kind of build up as this big bad guy, this big hope that nobody can beat until they get beat.
Yeah.
And we've had, like I said, I want to say, with every fighter we've had like that, we've all seen them lose in a dramatic fashion, with the exception of maybe Mayweather.
Yes.
Like Ronda Rousey, we've seen it happen to. We've seen Conor McGregor happen to multiple times at this point now. Anderson Silva, I want to say, happened to too.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Jones has never really lost. He's kind of beat himself almost. But yeah, it's kind of fascinating how that works out. I feel like Tyson was that one back in the day when it happened. The world kind of stopped almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It's like I would compare it to like Michael Jordan. He's in the finals. He's winning. Like Tiger Woods on a Sunday in a major, he's winning. Tyson,
yes,
it's over. Like there's just no chance. And then that like almost humanized him a little bit. Like, wait a minute. I thought no one would ever beat this guy. And then he would just retire.
Yeah. I think you hit it right on the head. I think him losing to Buster Douglas humanized him in a way that we didn't see at that point. And it was just so crazy to see that. And this was me. I was like, I had to be a kid. I was high school, maybe at that time. Probably not even in high school. But I remember that being an incredible moment in my years of loving boxing when I was younger.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Delvin, well, let's wrap up here. Why don't you tell our listeners where they can listen to your podcast, find you online, and just kind of hear what you're working on?
Oh, definitely. You can check me out on Twitter at Delvin_Cox. Check out the Delvin Cox Experience anywhere you get podcasts. And if you want to talk about video games or listen to the video games podcast, check out the PlayStation Experience anywhere you get podcasts.
All right, Delvin. It's always a pleasure. Well, thanks again. Stay safe out there in Florida, and let's do this again.
Definitely.
All right. Take care.
Peace.
What is Western Standard Time? It's West Coast Sports. It's real talk in real time. Western Standard Time. Follow us or be followed. WST_podcast, iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Get on it.